Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Rob Parr. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Martin Niemöller was a German clergyman, a Protestant, who watched Hitler's rise to power as though he were a member of the audience. In 1944, as a prisoner in the Nazi death camp at Dachau, he wrote the following. In Germany, they came first for the communists. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics. And I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me. And by that time, nobody was left to speak up.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome back. I hope you're fine. Boy, what a freaking week it was. Oh my gosh. Finally got into some trouble. I didn't do anything, but my pal, Anna Hummel, got into some trouble because of an Instagram video that she put out earlier this week, and a small mob formed online to demand her termination from her job at the radio station and as an on-air personality on the radio. It was completely dumbfounding how this whole thing went down, but that's the culture now. And the internet has made it possible for people to gather in an online space, assemble, and then you become this. You can become this attack group, which is what these people chose to do. Anna made a video that was rude. It was insensitive, maybe. I think it's fair to call her a jerk about how she worded this certain thing. But what she was being accused of, which was making fun of and mocking somebody who was sick. Basically, what happened is somebody, we went to the Andrew Schultz show in Orlando last weekend, and a lady had a seizure during the show, And it was scary, but she was okay. She was out, and they took her out, and she was okay as far as I know. And what happened was the comedian... See, comics have to address this stuff. They can't just let it go. You got to win the audience back. You know, you're at a comedy show. You're there to laugh, and something scary happens. So a comedian does all he knows how to do, which is try to lighten the mood a little bit, even though it was a scary thing. But like I said, the lady was taken out. She walked out of the room and everything. So she was fine. It's not like, you know, as far as I know, she was fine. So it's not like she, you know, died or something like that in the place. But so Anna was recounting this experience on her Instagram. This is her favorite comic. And she wanted to tell people about what happened, how crazy it was. Now, she was alluding to how crazy the whole situation was, how crazy the show was. But she kind of did say some things that were... She wasn't very diplomatic about how she worded it. But she's Anna. Like, that's how she is. And if you don't know her... Now, like I said, if you want to call her a jerk, fine. But she used some language that I guess some people took offense to. Nobody can handle curse words anymore, especially if it is convenient for them to not be able to handle the curse words. They can use it as ammunition to, you know, get you fired. So she recounted this experience, and some lady, took offense to it and assumed that she was actually making fun of the actual disease, which is unreasonable and insane. I think you could put Jeffrey Dahmer in a room and John Wayne Gacy, and if somebody had some sort of seizure like that, they'd be like, oh my God, let's get this person help. They wouldn't sit there and mock it and laugh at it. Maybe the devil, if the devil's real, maybe that would happen. But it was so, you know, unreasonable. So I think what happens is when these, there's online communities for people who are dealing with, you know, this disease, and they, you know, their support groups or whatever. So what happened was this lady just said, she took a screenshot of some of her video, and just a few second clip, you know, that's all you need. There's no context behind it, just that she said some rude words and was being a jerk, and it turned into this lady is mocking this disease, which, like I said, is so unreasonable and not true. And then in the online forums, people don't know. They just go, oh my God, that's terrible. Screw this lady. Let's get her. And the mob formed. And they called the station. They called, I know even Radio St. Pete got some calls about it because I got pulled into it because I was kind of defensive of Anna because I know what she meant. And it's not what they were saying she was doing was not the case. Yes, she was rude. But sorry, you don't get fired for being rude. That's not fair. And that's what they wanted. So I got pulled into it. I got people tweeting me. Now, not anywhere close to what Anna got. Anna was got death threats. She got called really vile, nasty things online. And because these people think that they have the moral high ground and they're mean individuals and emotional because they deal with this disease, you know, every day, so that it upsets them greatly, they think that it's okay to just say awful, awful things to people with no repercussions. And what they were doing, too, I noticed was, you know, initially Anna was like guns blazing. Like, this is not what I meant, and I'm standing my ground. And then it got to a point where it was out of control. But what they would do is she would respond to a nasty thing that somebody said, and then they would trim the screenshot to just her response, which was mean, in return. And then they would, you know, send it out into the ether and say, look at this. This is more proof that this person is scum. When she was getting these horrible things said to her, what is she supposed to do? You can't just take a response and then use it for your convenience, you know, as more damning evidence against her. Oh, my God. It was terrible. And then, like I said, I got pulled into it because I'm her friend. And I was there and present, and I'm on her show, you know, every night. So now I'm also a target. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything about this stuff, but now I'm part of this too, and people were demanding that I be fired as well. But it's been, I knew it was going to happen at some point. This happens to everybody. I knew it was coming, and I just was hoping it would be something that I did. Jeez, not something that I was just sort of borderline connected to through somebody else. But my goodness, what a mess. So, and it was really funny too. Like, you would get some things in the, and not funny, like funny, like funny, like that's weird. Where you get responses. Some lady wrote in about, you know, this is terrible thing to joke about. And then she gave me an idea. I gave us an idea of what we can joke about. She said, here's an example of something that can be joked about. There, I saw a lady, a trans lady in a dress, and her testicles were hanging out of her dress. Why don't you go make fun of that? Well, I think the trans community may have a problem with that, by the way. That's not something that they would probably care for us making fun of. So there's always going to be something that somebody's sensitive about. But when, you know, there's these little niche communities online, they just immediately go on the attack. It was impulsive. It was a reactionary emotional response to something. It wasn't logical. It wasn't thought out. They just took these words and made it fit into what they wanted and ran with it. And it's pretty terrible that this is going on. I think things are changing, though. You know, people were getting fired for this stuff, and people were bowing to the mob. But now it's not happening so much. The mayor of Virginia, or not the mayor, the governor of Virginia wore blackface, and he kind of just rode out the storm. And, you know, he's still governor, and he wore blackface, you know, 40 years ago or whatever it was in his yearbook, for God's sakes. Tucker Carlson was another one. He made some comments on a local radio DJ show, actually here in town, that he's buddies with, I don't know, 10 years ago. And they were disparaging of some kind, but he was on a shock jock morning show trying to be funny. And a lot of people did enjoy it, but there was a few people out there that did not enjoy it and did not care for it. And instead of saying, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm not going to tune in, you're disgusting, you could even say that, that's fair, you're a bad person even, okay. They demand that he be removed from his position, you know, because you can't make a living anymore because you're a bad person, and I don't agree with what you said. It's really a bizarre time that we live in. But like I said, they pulled some of his advertisers too. But people forget pretty quick. They find something else they can be mad at, and they move on. But man, oh man, what an experience the past few weeks have been. It's tough, man. I felt so bad for her because she was really just getting blasted from all angles by these people on the internet, you know, about her looks, about how she's scum, and just really vile stuff that these people were saying out of compassion because they felt like she was a bad person because she was not sensitive to their needs. And that's the thing. There's always something that you can make fun of that something or somebody is going to be upset about. They thought for some reason that she didn't understand that this was a serious disease. Everybody knows that. Nobody's ignorant of that fact. It's a terrible disease. And they would say things like, oh, you didn't make fun. You'd never make fun of AIDS, would you? Yeah, everybody makes fun of AIDS all the time. When I have a hangover, I go, oh, my God, I have AIDS. You know, it's in jest. It's not a serious thing. It's hyperbole. You know, it's not a real thing. But it was just so interesting to see how, and it was funny, you know, again, not funny, but the people, I looked at their profiles and you could just tell they were dumb, not the smartest people in the world, that it was just emotional reactions. They have no context. They just went on the attack instead of doing their due diligence, looking stuff up. And a lot of them didn't need it anyways, and they didn't want it because it was just a cause. It was their cause, and they demand, you know, action. So, I don't know. I mean, as far as I know, as of today, when I'm recording this, it's still going on. So, I don't know. It was freaking crazy, man. I hope we never have to deal with that again. And you just have to be very, very careful if you're in any sort of media or, I mean, really, anybody, really. You have to be really careful about, you have to pick your words, choose your words very carefully. She didn't do that. It was 2 in the morning. She was probably tired. She was, you know, on a high from the show that she was at. She got to see one of her favorite comedians. And she is a coarse individual. She's not a lady. She is a lady, but she's not a lady, you know what I mean? So she did not choose her words carefully there. But it was totally unfair how she was treated during this whole thing. Like I said, just, you know, people, you can't demand that they lose their livelihood. That's not cool, man. You don't get to, and who are you to determine that? Because this one offended you, and it's kind of a form of narcissism, because you could joke about, go joke about, in her words, the tranny who had her testicles hang out. That's okay. In her mind, but that wouldn't be okay in somebody else's mind. And somebody who's trans or somebody who knows somebody that trans, that would be a horrific thing to talk about. But these people are just so short-sighted, and they don't have a high enough IQ to understand that what they're doing is just as bad. So anyway, I don't know. I guess that's all I have to say about it. It was a terrible thing, and hopefully, you know, everything's cool. I hope so, and hopefully Anna's not fired, and she shouldn't be, and I don't even think she should really apologize for anything. She was a jerk. If she wants to apologize for being insensitive, that's okay, but she didn't do what these people are accusing her of doing. They're twisting her words in order to, because they want to be mad at something. That's what they were doing, so I don't know. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line here. If you have not, please subscribe to HMB Radio Tampa Bay on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Visit hmbradio.com, 813-693-2124 is the line. And what else? Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at home_made_man. I'm still trying to find man, not like man, but I mean that's the end of my name, home_made_man. I'm trying to find some sort of new handle that I can use, but I don't want to do like a lot of them do, like Will on the Radio or something. No, I don't want to. I don't like that. Will on Air. No, I hate that. That's what they all do. And I wish I could just get Will. That would have been great if I would have thought of that 10 years ago when I got my Twitter account, but didn't think that far ahead because I was a fool. So, yeah, download the podcast. Tell a friend about it. Give it a 5-star rating. You know, these little things only take a second, and they really help me out, so I appreciate you doing that. If you haven't yet, I still got stickers, HMB Radio magnets, all this cool stuff. So send me a message in my DMs or email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I will send you out some goodies free of charge. And I would like to say thank you to our sponsor here, True V Salon and Spa, TRU, V as in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. You can make your appointment today. Look good, feel good, True V Salon and Spa.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
So earlier, last week, I guess it was, on Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a radio program heard on 102.5 The Bone, I think, every weeknight at midnight. And you can get it if you download the Bone app. You can get it on demand at your leisure. If you just search 102.5 The Bone in your app store, you can get the app. We got you know, our show on demand, and then you get all the other great Bone shows from Mike Calta leading all the way up to Johnny B. That whole lineup is on there, on demand, clips of the day, traffic, all that good stuff. So make sure you get it, because you probably sleep like a normal human being. Not me. I'm jealous of you. So you're probably not up at midnight. But I and I have good hangs, good chats. And we were talking a little bit about Michael Avenatti. And the Mueller report came out and found no collusion, that people were, all my friends were amped and convinced that that was the case and that he was going to be put in prison, our president, for treason. That ended up not being true. And I knew that was coming for a long time, because I think I'm not blinded by an ideology, I hope. I guess I have, everybody has their own biases, but yeah, it was wild, man. And then we also got into just being a citizen, government overreach, all that stuff. So let's check out this clip from Stay Woke, weeknights, midnight, 102.5 The Bone.
The corporate press has lost all credibility to me. I would never, if I see a CNN article, NBC article, I would be very dubious of it now. I would double check and triple check. You know, you have to read those things. You have to do your due diligence and read, you know, if it's something that my rule is that if it's something that interests me, I'll go find a few sources. If it's something I don't really care about, I don't even bother reading it.
Right. I got you. You got to triangulate. That's what I always like to do. Mm-hmm. Is like you got to look at this source and that source and try to find the overlapping parts of everything. And that's kind of how you can kind of gather, or at least try to gather, what the truth might be. But Trump had a great day. So the report comes out, no collusion, yada, yada. And then Michael Avenatti, this little snake, holy S. He's kind of hot in a weird sort of conniving way.
Uh-huh.
Turns out he was arrested for alleged extortion with Nike, right, for $20 million roughly.
Yep.
He is on record saying, quote, I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap. I am not effing around. It says here the conversation came a day after Avenatti met with Nike's lawyers and, quote, threatened to release damaging information if the company didn't pay off Avenatti and an unidentified co-conspirator. And I think that they have named the co-conspirator, who I guess was nameless initially, but not anymore. I think it's another lawyer.
It's Mark Garagos, and he actually represented Jussie Smollett and Kaepernick in his lawsuit against the NFL, where he was paid a lot of money.
And Michael Jackson.
Wonderful, isn't it? It's just funny how on the same dang day, because this guy, Avenatti, was a contender to potentially be the Democratic nominee for president, kind of following Trump's path that he kind of laid out of being an outsider and just all of a sudden becoming a politician when he was just a high profile attorney for a little while. And boy, did it just not go. What a complete 180 that whole thing has been. He's the one who ended up potentially doing jail time. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Up to 47 years.
If he's the only one that gets jail time out of this whole Russia probe that went on.
47 years, I heard, was maximum penalty. That's insanity. Your life's over. And I think about this because I feel like on some level, and I know we have a lot of prisoners listening, so whatever, sorry. But on some level, I feel like death would be, like, I would want to be euthanized. Knowing that I was never going to see another free day, I don't know.
I think you'd probably learn how to adapt, and that would just be your life. You know, so
I need hope, like hope that I'm going to get off. Hope that you know, if it's like 5-10 years where it's like, you know, puts a major dent in my life. All right, but I know that there's an end date.
Well, I guess He's 48, so that would probably
be the rest of his life.
He would spend the rest of his life probably in jail. But if we were to go to, you know, prison for 47 years, we might be able to get out and still be alive.
I don't,
you know, be in the free world.
You don't even know how to live. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about it.
There's people, you ever hear the people like that go to jail and just in and out of jail for a long time, in and out of prison, and then they go back, like they try to do a crime to go back because they can't live out. That's their world now. That's their life.
Yeah, reminds me of Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
When I guess a guy got off out of, like, I don't know, after 40 years or something like that, tried to readjust or reimmerse himself into civilian life, ended up just like hanging himself. He didn't know what to do.
Right, and that was a story recently I saw was a man. They released him from prison. He's like, I don't want to go, and they were like, dude, you got to go, man. You're done. And he went, got out, and tried to rob a bank as soon as they let him out, off the bus.
That's another thing. I feel like if you want to stay in prison, like, I understand that that's bizarre and obviously a very small fraction. But, again, if you are asking to stay, they know you're going to commit another crime to go back. So I feel like that's a liability to society to let somebody go.
Yeah, I mean, a good way to, if you wanted to go back for good, would be, you know, murder somebody.
Jeez.
You'd probably go back for
a
long time.
Absolutely.
Take somebody else's life.
I don't know, but then you're also eating up tax dollars by staying in prison if you're told to leave. So
it's sad, man. Like, I feel for those dudes because they just, kind of, because, you know, I don't know what their crimes were. It could be, you know, if they're in jail for, like, if you're in jail for
drugs or
nonviolent offense,
you
shouldn't be in jail or in prison. That's insane. Like, there's only
I'm trying to think of an example.
I mean, there's, I think there's other ways of rather than throwing
like stealing them, money or, you know, like extortion
even
or
that. I don't think you should do community service or something. Like,
all right.
If you're in jail for a nonviolent crime, that's terrible. That's animalistic to just throw somebody in a cage like that and that's it. It's just we're removing you from society for. Uh-huh. For something that's, you know, if you hurt somebody, that's different, you know?
Yeah,
physically.
But I mean, I feel like you can hurt people in different sorts of ways. And I'm trying to think of an example because I want to dig a little bit deeper because there's lots of, obviously when it comes to like, oh, you had a little too much marijuana on you, like get out of here.
Yeah, that's,
you know, if you're, I don't know, again, it, of course, all of the things I'm thinking of is harm, maybe not in a physical way, but you know, if you're sneaking drugs to people or you're neglectful of your kids, that's harmful and just not maybe physical
just
harm.
Just legalize drugs.
And yeah, then, dude. You know. I mean, I've been about that since day one. Yeah. That you should be able to do whatever the hell you want to do to your body.
I mean, my position is that the only thing that you do own, really,
yeah,
is
your autonomy.
Your person, yeah. Which you got. So everybody's under understanding and everybody realizes that if you do heroin, you're going to die. I mean, that's just a ticking time bomb. And that's sad. You know, your family's going to miss you, and you shouldn't do it because people are going to miss you and they love you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's your choice and your decision. So
isn't it crazy that that's like your government property? Like, you can't kill yourself.
Yeah.
That's against
you're
the law.
You're literally given a number when you come out of your mother's womb.
Oh, yeah.
You get a social security number, and you're on the grid, man. That's bizarre to me that they can just find you, track you down. You are obligated to serve in the military. You know, there's a lot of things that you're obligated to pay taxes. Like, you're part of the system now. You're not an individual. You're not,
yeah, but
you can't
honestly,
live on the outside.
And I remember, do you know who Steven Pinker is? I think we've discussed him before. He wrote this really long book called, like, The Better Angels of Our Nature. It was about the reduction of violence. And I know we think that the world is becoming increasingly more violent, but he has a lot of evidence showing that it's really going in the other direction, which is kind of nice to see that, like, okay, you know, we're not as violent as we used to be. Even at, like, you look at the first world, you know, what they used to do for entertainment when you would see the gladiators or they would just hang people in the streets. You would skin cats for entertainment. You can't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was showing that there really is a reduction of violence, and I completely forgot my point where I was going with this.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that has to do with technology, you know, getting people out of poverty. I
right.
mean, there's a lot that goes into that. But yeah, violent crime.
Oh, I remember. Sorry. When it comes to the what he calls the Leviathan, so basically an overarching government that has your best interest at heart. So before there was like a government, there was a lot more violence because people would just be like, hey, you stole my cow. Now I'm going to murder you. And there was no sort of penalty for that because you could just do whatever you want. The government was just like, we own this land. We don't own the people in the land. Or maybe there wasn't even really a government, you know, whatever. So, but once the government kind of had control or kind of like property rights over its citizens, then if Frank killed Bob, Bob is going to go to jail because the king said so.
Right.
Even though the king was not harmed by Frank's, you're basically government property. So having like what they called a Leviathan or some overarching government entity, a third party, it actually has your best interest at heart because if you kill somebody, you go to jail, even though it doesn't affect me at all. You know what I mean? So.
And then, you know, the state can run amok with that kind
of
stuff.
Of course,
too.
It can spiral out of control.
Because then it's
for sure.
Like, you know, we're going to make you wear a seatbelt and we're going to fine you if you don't wear a seatbelt. It's like, give me a break. I don't want to wear a seatbelt. Stop telling me what to do.
Right. But then it gets kind of muddied if it's like you're not putting your kids in a seatbelt or, you know, I don't know.
I just, the nanny
state. Not vaccinating
state.
Your kids and, you know, all
yeah,
that.
I
but
know.
You,
it can go
but you
the
affect other people. That's the
yeah,
problem. Is
right.
It gets very muddled because are your kids your property? Are they kind of, you know, their own people? Do they have their own rights? It gets very, very
that's
messy.
Like, you know, this is like a soda thing. You can't buy a 22-ounce soda. You can only buy a 6-ounce soda. Like,
what
New York
is, what, that's a thing?
Yeah. I
but
think
then
New
you
York
can buy
it.
Like six of a six.
I know. It's so dumb. It's so stupid, man. I don't know how they enforce these things. But yeah, and it's just like, we know what's best for you. You listen to us. We're the ones in power. And it's just like, the government is just made up of citizens, right,
mm-hmm.
that we elect
oh,
to
yeah.
represent us. And then they become you know, they're kings and queens all of a sudden just telling us what to do. And it's
right.
just, I can't stand that either. So there's good and bad.
Of course. And it can spiral out of control. And a lot of people think, like you said, they're like, oh, the federal government will take care of it and they'll parse it out and they'll do this and they'll be in control of Medicare and they'll be in control of everything. And much like you said, they're just made up of people.
Yeah,
like the government is not this, like the what would you call it? I don't know, this a bureaucratic elite that knows so much more than we do. They're just freaking people,
it's
man.
The DMV. The government is a big DMV. Have you ever been to the DMV?
Yeah, I have.
It's not great. It's terrible. And that's what the government is.
It's as you say, Bobo, which is a term I have now adopted. I said it probably like 60 times this weekend.
Excellent.
It's my favorite thing to say. That is that's Bobo.
Yeah, it's a good term for something that's whack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I can't say that I invented that, but I'm definitely bringing it back. I haven't heard anybody say it in a while. So
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Perfect.
Yeah, there we go. Bobo. Bring that one back. That's a good one. Bet you haven't heard that one in a while. You're welcome. I'm happy to do it for you. 813-693-2124. Any comments, concerns, questions? Happy to do anything I can for you. And before we go, I want to say thanks to Homemade Podcasts, homemadepodcasts.com. That is my little media consulting company that I have going. If you're interested in podcasting, don't know how to start, I'm your man. I can help you. Let's do it. 813-693-2124 or visit homemadepodcasts.com. Hardware, software, RSS feeds, any of that good stuff, editing. I know a guy. Look, I can help you. Or if you're a business that wants to get into podcasting to reach new and existing customers, that's a good way to go about it, too. Podcasting is a growing field, and it's a growing medium, and you should get involved now before it's too late. So, homemadepodcasts.com. Or if you're interested in advertising with a local podcast here, if you got a business in St. Pete and you're looking for some affordable advertising, well, I know a guy. It's me. And I could use the money, to be quite honest with you. And I'm happy to promote your excellent product. So visit me at hmbradio.com. And with that, I will leave you. I hope you're good to your friends, your family, and strangers, because they deserve compassion, too. Let's stop being mean to each other, unless it's a joke. If it's a joke, then you can go ahead and be a little mean. I don't know. That's my opinion, anyways. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit after that. And if you're listening on podcast, I sure do appreciate you doing so. Make sure you tell a friend about it. You know, give it a 5-star rating. Subscribe to it. These are little things, like I said, that really helped me out. My name is Will Kuntz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a great week. See ya.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.